enough for Jesus, good enough for me. So we'll just pray the blessing in Aramaic. Shemit Baba, Brona, Broka, Kosha, Ha'alaha, Amen. It's very good to be back here again. You know that this is the church I love more than any other. So it's like being home, being back here. And I bring you greetings from our community. Our community is very interesting. It is the same as your community. We are one family. We used to, in Iraq, we were Chaldeans or Orthodox or Syriani. When we all fled, when they were all persecuted, we became one thing, Masihi, the followers of the Messiah. So we're not any denomination anymore. We're all Christian. And it's really good. Really, really good. And I must say, because I've got my friends from the Netherlands here. Not from Holland, the Netherlands. They were the first people who stood with us when we were persecuted. We thank the people from the Netherlands for their help. And we thank all of you for your help. Because as we say in Arabic at the beginning of every service, Allahumma ana, the Lord is here and His Spirit is with us. And we know that for sure. And so I was in Pretend Iraq last week. You know Pretend Iraq? Kurdistan. Everybody says they are ministering in Iraq. They're not. They're mainly in pretend Iraq in the north. So I went up there for a few days. There are so many people ministering in pretend Iraq. So I went and saw them. Went to the camps and saw lots of our Masihi Christians have fled from ISIS. And they are surviving by God's grace. They've got nothing. They're literally living in tents. And I think I told you once before that the children in the camps for the internally displaced people were very upset because there was no tent for Jesus. It was near Christmas. So we got a crib, put a baby doll in it, and even to this day, they have Jesus' tent. So he's there as well. So things are coping. And we are coping. And we know that the Lord is always with us. And I want to speak to you today from the book of Job. In Arabic, what do we call it? I know you don't speak Arabic. Ayub. The book of Ayub. And Ayub is very important to us. It's very important to me because very central to my life in Iraq was Kifl, El Kifl, the palace of Ezekiel and Ezekiel's shrine. And it's in one of the ancient synagogues of Iraq. And I used to go and help preserve that shrine and look after it. But on the way back from El Kifl to Baghdad, you pass through Babylon and you pass through the place where Ayub's tomb is. And you go into Ayub's tomb and you see that here Ayub, Job, is one of the most ancient prophets of Scripture. Right from the beginning was the word of Job. Everything went against him. All was awful. "Curse God and die," said his friends. Have you got friends like that? You know, these friends who hang about the church and they say they're Christians and they're more about how great they are and how awful you are, and they know the truth and you don't. All of us, I'm sure that every one of us in this room has suffered. I'm sure that you all know what pain is. I know what pain is from my own life. I've got MS, I've been ill a lot, I've had 39 operations. But God is always with me. God is always standing beside me. Whatever happens, the Lord is there with me. Who was it who had a 105-year-old grandmother? Your mother. Yeah, well, I had the same kind of problem. My grandmother was 106 and she would not die. And she came from a very good Christian stock. Her husband had spent his life until 1947, being the assistant to a very famous wacky preacher who was very good at whacking people, called Smith Wigglesworth. And my grandmother, you know, when she got to 106, I went to her and I said, "Lord, she really needs to go and be with my grandfather." So I prayed over her, "Let us thou thy servant depart in peace, for her eyes have seen the glory of her salvation." And within 1 week, she'd gone. And I did her funeral, and it was great, and we celebrated, and we rejoiced. So that's a thing to praise God for. You know, Job, all the time, the one thing Job never ceased to do was to praise God. All the time, with his horrible friends, you know, the kind you find in church, who say, "If you did this, if you didn't do that, that's why you're ill, because you're not praying properly." So many people have said that to me. "You are ill because you're not praying properly." And God says, "I'm here with you. I am showing my glory. and Job had his friends condemning him. And for all of us, haven't there been years and years where we have prayed for something and nothing has happened? Job prayed and prayed, and eventually God answered him. I had a sister who got anorexia when she was very young. She was 11. For 40 years, we prayed for her, and nothing happened. And people said, "Why don't you just give up?" No, God doesn't tell us to do that. And 5 years ago, she got completely better. And she became a big lead in a Christian community. I mean, she was so bad. At one time, she was so physically ill, she was on a ventilator in hospital for 6 months. Never thought she would recover. And now, she is normal, worshipping, praising God, and even eating. And we must know that we have to persevere, not give up. And Job did not give up. One of my favorite passages in the whole of Scripture is Job chapter 42. 42 verse 4. You said, "Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, O Lord, but now my eyes have seen you." My ears have heard of you. I have petitioned you, Lord. You knew about our trials with our school in Hillel or Bethlehem. And the Lord says, before you had heard that I had heard you, but now you have seen me with your own eyes. We have spoken those words to the Lord, but now we have seen him. Who's seen the Lord? I think most of us have seen him. Who's not seen him? So you haven't seen him. I pray that the Lord will come and show himself to you. And we will all pray that. Because our faith is not just about words. It's about seeing the difference. It's about seeing change. It's about the Lord answering prayer. When everybody said it was impossible, when everybody said, "Curse God and die," and the Lord says to us what Job said to our Lord, "Before I had heard of you, now I have seen you." Come, Lord, see us now in our desperate situation. Here we are in the land of the Holy One. I don't call this place the Holy Land. To me, it is the Promised Land. It is the land of the Holy One, our Yeshua, our Lord Jesus. He is here. He is with us. He will speak to all of you this week. He will show His love to you. I always say to people, our faith is about taking risks. It's not about taking care. You know these people, you leave church and they say, oh, take care, Pastor. I say, no, take risks. We've got to take risks to see the glory of God. It's not about careful work. It's about glory. Those of you who know me know that whenever I'm at church, I always give things away, don't I? I want you to have these bracelets made by our refugee Christians. They're black bracelets with crosses on. And they remind us that even though everything might be awful, first one here, can I have one? Yeah, that's better. Oh, you haven't got one. Last one. Very small one, though. Now, my friend here, my new friend, where are you from? Another Dutch friend. I love the people from the Netherlands. You can have one of my pens. Look, isn't it good? You press it 3 times and the light comes on. And I want you to do one other thing for me. You know my friend there who hasn't seen him yet? Will you take her an olive wood cross from Bethlehem and say that's because Jesus loves her? There she is. There we are. Lord, may your Spirit come amongst us. May we know that with Job, he comes to the end of that terrible story. And he says, before I had heard of you, Lord, but now I have seen you. For all of us, may we say, before we had heard of you, now we have seen you, and we love you, and your power is going with us. And what are we going to do? Take risks. Amen. Bye.